Please turn again to the book of 1 John, chapter 5. Just going to look at one verse this afternoon. 1 John 5. And just because we're skipping a little bit does not mean we will not be covering these verses, but just want to give special attention to verse 21. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. Amen. Let's pray. Father, I ask that you would show us what it means to keep ourselves from idols. Give us grace that we may walk faithful to you and to you alone. May we see our Lord Jesus as fair above all other things. In Christ's name, amen. Of all the ways John would finish his epistle, he ends it with, keep yourselves from idols. The application of this to us is not as much that we should be careful about how many carved sticks we have inside or outside of our house. That was a problem during John's time to a point. But even then, those are not the idols that we have to be wary of today. Instead, the application for us is that our worship belongs to God and God alone. We should make it a point of always evaluating our worship. Not only our worship of God, but evaluate if we are worshiping anything or anyone that is apart from God. In other words, anything else except for Him. One of the best measures to determine if you have an idol or not is found in the way that you determine your own justification. Most of the time we associate justification with God's decree that we are right in His sight because of Christ. But justification, like all other doctrines, has a practical outworking. And one of those outworkings is the fact that when we are justified, we should find ourselves and we should count ourselves right because God already has. In other words, when we are determining, when we are thinking about ourselves, when we find ourselves getting down or becoming discouraged or maybe overly elevated in pride, we need to carefully consider where we are finding our justification. Or in other words, where are you finding your worth as a person? What makes you who you are? If the thing that identifies you is a particular interest that you have, or a particular idea or person that you pursue, then you should be careful that you are not finding your justification in something other than God. Because that's a temptation. We are born idolaters. As I mentioned in Romans 1, we naturally, it comes to us without having to be taught. We suppress the truth in unrighteousness. We naturally look for other places and other ways to find our worth as a person. We look to find other meaning apart from Christ. And when we do, whether we are a part of the body of Christ or not, Christians can have idols. The people of Israel had to be reminded, they bore the sign of the covenant. They were circumcised. They sacrificed. They went to the temple. They went to the synagogue on a regular basis to hear the word taught. They were still capable of retaining idols. And the people of God today are just as capable of retaining idols. If you find yourself being elated over something that you've been working for, and then finally it happens, yes, it is natural and it is good to have joy, to have rejoicing and gladness over God's blessing you in whatever area it is. But if whenever you start having a pull towards a little bit of discouragement and you immediately run back to, well, I did accomplish this. This at least is set in place. At that point, we may be finding your justification in something other than Christ. The same way when you are low and discouraged. If whatever you were seeking after with all of your heart you fail in, your work is not going as the way you want it to. People are not helping you the way that you would like. A pursuit of yours has just fallen through. And you crash. And you stay crashed. You should carefully evaluate if there's an idol. If you have made whatever it is that you are pursuing so hard an idol. Because the only thing an idol is just what you ascribe, anything that you ascribe worth to above God. And you say, well, I would never answer that something else is greater than God. Well, this is not talking about how you answer the question. I don't think any of us in here, and in fact, I don't even believe that most people out in the world would even say that whatever their greatest pursuit is, that it is greater than their own life. You and I would not say that whatever our pursuit or idea or person, whatever it is we're going after, we would not say that it is greater than God. After all, that would be idolatrous. We wouldn't dare confess something like that. But our confession and our heart can be two different things. If you find it difficult to shake off something that you were going after, and you lose, and you think about it, you meditate on it, and it just weighs on you, and you can't shake it, you're still stewing on it days later. Sounds like you've made an idol. You see, all idols have some of the trappings of religion. And just for myself, as I was speaking with Brother Mike about this a couple of weeks ago, but there's one that I particularly have struggled with in my own life. But before I get to that, I didn't finish what I was saying. When I said that all idols have some of the trappings of religion, they have, like I've already spoken of, a system of justification. They have a system of, many have a system of sanctification or working and improvement. With some of them, there are pilgrimages associated, just as we as the people of God ascend into God's holy temple in worship. There can be a pilgrimage that you make to something else in which you find great worth and joy. Some idols have literal icons, people or things that are exalted above what they should be. They have prophets, priests, temples. Some even have catechisms. Now again, I was speaking of myself, but it's something that I have witnessed not only individually, but I've seen it control entire towns. And this is just one example, because idolatry can be many things. Some people can have more than one, but one of the greatest temptations for men raised in the South has to do with even some of our conversation earlier today, football. It doesn't affect everyone the same way. But for men who were raised around it, it has a particular grip. And I'm going to tell you, having struggled with this for a long time, to keep it in balance, to keep God above all and Jesus Christ as the King, and to keep all other things submitted to that, I've discovered that you cannot have two masters. You either find your system and your worth as a person in Christ and His work on your behalf, or you will find it in something else, or at least try to find it in something else. And so John says in 1 John 5, verse 21, little children, keep yourselves from idols. Just to take the example of particularly college football, how does it have the trappings of worship? First of all, it has a system of justification. Because on a given Saturday, if my team wins, boy, it feels great. Particularly if it was a really close game, there's a temptation to find worth in victory. Now let me go ahead and say this now and get it out of the way. I am not saying that you cannot enjoy things that the Lord has provided, and football being one of them, or it can be, even for some people, it can be reading books, it can be watching movies, it can be food, it can be decorating a home, it can be shopping. All of these things can be brought into submission to Christ. At the same time, all of them and many more can be made into an idol. Now, as I was speaking, justification, for people who have football as an idol, if my team wins, I'm elated, and if they lose, I am discouraged. I am despondent. I am questioning. I am wondering how and why and only if and many other things. But it causes me to sink. And you know what? There have been Sundays where I myself have not been able to worship the God of heaven and earth because I was still trapped in something that had happened 12 hours before. Now, I want you to think about this. Is it right for you or me or anyone else to be distracted in our worship of the only true and living God because my candidate did not get elected into the most recent election? Or because my team should have won, but then turned out that they got beat. Or even because my team was supposed to get beat and they won. And I come into the worship of God and that is still the main thing on my mind. What does that say about God's priority as the King? Is He God or not? And as I said, I'm not speaking as one who is in mastery over these things. It's difficult, whatever the area that you struggle with is, it is difficult to find your justification in Christ when it's so easy to be tempted somewhere else. But not only that, it has justification, but there's also sanctification, because in football we expect whatever team we root for to improve every week. And if not, get a little bit frustrated about the fact that they're not doing what they're supposed to be. There are pilgrimages people make. People in this state spend hundreds of thousands of dollars. Actually, people spend millions of dollars traveling to places just to observe their team. Again, I'm not saying that nobody should show up, but I've also seen the fact that I'm out until 2 o'clock in the morning prevent some from attending worship the next day because I just had a long night and I was too tired. But there's a pilgrimage that is made. There's worship, literally. When we're observing what's going on, when something good happens, we're glad. We cheer. Something bad happens, we think terrible things. Sometimes say poor things. I've seen people, and we've heard news reports in the past, of the day after Thanksgiving, people lining up at 3 o'clock in the morning to shop, and then trampling someone to death because they wanted to get a particular product. That's dedication. That's worship. False worship. But worship nonetheless. There are priests in football. There are coaches who lead their respective teams. And fans either approve of the intercessory role that that priest is playing, or they disapprove, and they make it known. Now, if a priest does well enough and is successful enough, then we might turn that priest into a saint or into an icon. And this state is the worst. The absolute worst about that. They have turned one coach, Bear Bryant, into an icon, into an object of worship. I mean, it is, if there was anything of called secular sainthood, in this state, he would be the top. Probably the only dead person who could still be elected governor. It's that bad. And it drives people. And it's not a whole lot different than in the Republican Party. Whenever they want to find the politician that they think will be great, who do they compare that politician to? Ronald Reagan. So-and-so is the next Ronald Reagan. Or so-and-so was supposed to be the next Ronald Reagan. But Ronald Reagan is seen as the modern icon of the Republican Party. If we could only just get another one of those. Do you understand how these things have the trappings of religion? How there is worship involved? You say, but nobody's bowing to them. No. But in the ancient world, you could worship one of the false gods or goddesses, and you didn't have to bow at all. You could worship, you could be seen as worshiping the goddess Venus, the god of romantic love, by hiring a prostitute. That was seen as worship. Whether you even went to the temple or not, it was an act of worship. Now, that there's a whole lot more to that. Paul explains it thoroughly in the book of 1 Corinthians, the problems that go with that particular type of false worship. But, as I said, in this state, one of the strongest false religions has to do with football. And you know, and one way you can tell is because some of the prophets of the sports commentators, they keep some kind of football story drummed up in the middle of the summer or in the winter right after the season's over. Why? Because that's what drives the people. It moves them. They will spend hundreds or even some of them thousands of dollars for an autograph. So are these things wrong? No. As long as all this is in its proper place. As long as it is all submitted unto the Lordship of Jesus Christ. I heard or read Gary North one time said, and this is not an exact quote, but no one, he said that something like, no one in the South would believe in the judgment of God unless all their high school football teams went 0-10 for 5 years in a row. Then and only then would they believe that God was judging them. And I'm going to say, until the people of God as a whole surrender their false idols to Him, there will not be any reformation of the church. Because as long as there are idols in place, as long as God is not worshipped, most of the time, He gives us over to whatever it is we pursue. So we must not find our worth, our justification, or anything else in anything except for the Lord Jesus Christ. So how do you determine whether or not you have an idol? Well, I know we already spoke of justification, how you find your right standing as a person. But also, what do you talk about? And it's not just what do you talk about on occasion. is there anything that dominates your conversation? In other words, is there any particular subject that is just the only thing that comes out of your mouth? That's one sign that can at least point you to something that is an idol. Does it mean it is? It's a good likelihood. So, what do you talk about? Next, what do you think about? Those who love the Lord meditate on the Lord's truth. Having said that, Christians are allowed to think other things besides God, the Lord our God, is one. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and thy soul and mind and thy strength. You can think other things besides scripture verses. But the Israelites were told to meditate on those things when they sit down, when they rise up, in the morning and in the evening. Does God's Word dominate your thoughts like that? And if you say, well, no, and I don't know, I don't even know how to get there. Just start by taking a verse and keeping it with you. If you have to write it down on a note card, do that. But something that you can just be thinking about that verse on a given day or 2 days. And if you do, and you make a habit of that, there will be times where you will find yourself seeing new things, new truth contained in that verse. The Spirit will reveal things to you that are in that verse that you've never seen before. Just like you will think of new and creative things, whatever you meditate on. But you can determine many times if you have an idol based on what dominates your thoughts. And only you know that. If you are dominated with thoughts of inability, lack of strength, then there are verses in God's Word that speak to that. If you are dominated with thoughts of fear, God's Word speaks to that as well. This is hiding the Word in your heart. This is building foundations within your soul so that during the times of trial and testing, when the rains descend and the floods come and the winds blow, you will be standing firm because you have built on the rock. You have built on Jesus Christ. Third, you can determine if you have an idol by the way that you spend your money. If there is any particular thing that you find yourself just shelling out money for, that's a good way to hit it. Or even what if you really want to make a strong determination here, itemize the way you spend over a month and see if there's any particular area that you're spending that is not necessary. If there's any one particular thing that you just didn't realize, because we do that. A lot of times we will spend on things and we will not even realize how much is going to that, and then eventually it hits us. And we say, oh my, I didn't know I was spending all that. But you can determine if you have an idol by if your money is going to one particular thing. John was writing to this church because he knew idolatry is a temptation. It's a temptation for them, and it's a temptation for us. So just as they are told to keep themselves from idols, I would adjure us as the Lord's people that we also be on the lookout for and keep ourselves from idols that may have inserted themselves into our lives. Let's pray. Father, thank you that you have overcome the world, and through you we overcome the world. Pray that our love for you would be perfected, we would be sanctified, and our love for one another would grow. Please bless us and keep us through this week. May we walk in your righteousness. In Christ's name, amen.